time to start finding a seat for staff services.
May I have your attention, please? Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is Sunny Fisher Label Barzilai Hawkins, and I'd like to serve forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Fisher Label now entering the sanctuary. I'd now like to turn it over to Sunny Fisher Label Benjamin Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May peace and love be with each and every one of you. Title of my speech is Running the Race to the Kingdom. It's not like running a race with somebody. It's seeing who can stand up and now it's held forever. Please turn to Ecclesiastes 9:11. And it says, I turned once more and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor honor to men of skill, but time and circumstances befall each of them. Running the race to the kingdom is great. You are being righteous when you run the race to the kingdom. You are doing the right thing when you run the race to the kingdom. We are the runners to the kingdom. There is only one type of the word race. It's the race to the kingdom. And I have a quote from the 12th book of Ezra, part 1, that says, you are almost to the finish line running this race. Yep. Praise Yahweh. That's a race. The only race of people is the race they run to get to the kingdom. They're all equal in Yahweh's eyes. Everyone and given the same opportunity, except Yahweh has chosen a special opportunity. Yahweh has chosen a group, not because of your righteousness. He took you out of the worst sins of the world. You were probably the worst there was or would have been if he hadn't pulled you out and he took you out and said, this is yours if you want to partake of it.
The word race in Ecclesiastes 9:11 is word number 4793, which is from 7323, and means, for whatever reason, to rush. Our reason to run is to make it into Yahweh's kingdom. For my last scripture, please turn to Corinthians 9, verse 24 through 25. Running the race, obtaining the reward. Do you not know that those who run in a race all compete, but only one receives the prize? So run your race that you may lay hold of the prize and make it yours. And everyone who competes conducts himself temporarily in all things. Now they compete to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. May God bless your understanding. Now I'd like to turn it over to Sunny Israel for prayer.
Deacon David Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Well, we've got a great lineup here for you today. Some exciting stuff. Listen real closely. I think you'll have some probably a little bit of a homework assignment as we get towards the end of the services there. But what I'd like you to remember today when listening to the young men and the men that are speaking and the Kohans is for you to hold on to what you've got. Don't ever forget what brought you here to the house of Yahweh. Think about it. Look back on it. You know, relive what brought you here. It was pretty exciting when talking to everyone about, you know, how they came to the house of Yahweh. I could see the similarities in what took place with my coming to the house of Yahweh. And it just renewed that in me. And it was very, very exciting. So remember your first love, what you really saw here in the house of Yahweh that brought you here and what's keeping you here, and hold on to it. So to begin with today, we're going to hear from Deacon Yeshaya, a son of Israel Abel, Deacon Yeshaya. And I have the opportunity to work with Deacon Yeshaya quite a bit at the school. And one of the things that I've noticed about him, to his benefit, is that he has a great work ethic. This young man, he'll volunteer for stuff and get in there and do it. He loves to go out to different training and learn different things and come back and show what he's learned. The next person that we're going to hear from, oh, by the way, he's been in the house of Yahweh all his life. The next person we'll hear from is Deacon Buffalo Bill. He, too, was raised in the house of Yahweh. And just like before, now he's spoken before, and just like I said before, one of the things about Bill is you can always count on him to have a speech ready to go. That was his entertainment as a child, is making speeches for the house of Yahweh, and he still does it today, so he's always ready. Now, the next person we'll hear from is Deacon Samuel Vang Hawkins. Now, Deacon Samuel has been in the house of Yahweh all of his life. And when asking him, you know, he's been here as a boy, as a teenager, as an adult. And so you got to wonder, you know, what has kept you here all this time, especially as a teen growing up? And he said, well, he's had the opportunity to see the great, he's had the opportunity to see the bad, and he's had the opportunity to see the ugly. And he said, I don't want anything to do with the bad and the ugly. And that's what's kept him going. And being involved in the work of Yahweh, constantly involved, he stays busy, and that's what's kept him here. The next person we'll hear from is Deacon Michael Ossoff, and the great doctor of music from Nebraska. And I remember last time he told me he was looking for the reason that his prayers were not answered. And so he came to the house of Yahweh, and he's been experiencing answered prayer ever since then. And we're really glad to have all these deacons here and busy in the work. Now, the next one, I got to tell you, he's been in the house of Yahweh, oh, right at 40 years. Now, that's a long time. And in talking to him, I'll tell you who it is in just a minute. You'll probably figure it out. But in talking to him, he said, well, you know, he was here in Abilene. He's from a far-off country, let's say, and came from New York to Abilene. And as he was here in Abilene, he wanted to know the truth, but he just didn't think there was any man that could tell him the truth. And so one day he's working at a hospital with somebody, and they're doing some work, and they went to the concession stand, and the man told him, he said, hey, you can get that sandwich right there. It's clean. And he looked up and he said, what do you mean this is clean? You know, what does that mean? And so the man told him a little bit about it, and it got him to thinking a little bit, you know. And then he started seeking for someone who would keep the Sabbath. That was the big thing really on his mind, is he wanted to be a Sabbath keeper. So he wound up, you know, going a few miles off down the road there a little bit to some people that were proclaiming to keep the Sabbath. And along the way, he said, isn't there somewhere in Abilene where somebody keeps the Sabbath? And one of the men said, oh, that Bill Hawkins over there, you know, he's supposedly keeping the Sabbath. And so this man said, well, I'm going to go see him. And he did. And, you know, the rest is history. He remembers the first meeting he was at. There was him and a pastor and two or three families there. And that was it. And this is, as you may have guessed by now, the great Kohan Benaiah. And I'll tell you, in talking to him a little bit more, He told me that he lived in a house that that pastor owned at the time, and it was on Jeanette Street. And I didn't think much about it, but in talking to another Kahan about today, he said, you know, he said they used to meet in a house on Jeanette Street. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's twice I've heard that. And so I just thought, maybe I ought to look this up. And I did, and it's amazing what's showing up in the gematria of Jeanette. And you know what? I don't care how you spell it. Pick away. You can pick just Jeanette. You can pick Jeanette Street, Abilene. You can pick Jeanette Street, Abilene, Texas, with the zip code. However you want to do it, all you're going to get is benefit. You're going to get awesome stuff coming from this. So it might be something that you want to look at. So I highly recommend it. Anyway, with Jeanette, one of the things that came up was a brother, a member of the same religious community. Brethren, a fellow man having one and the same father, a fellow believer, united by a bond of affection, which made me think of the unrighteous where they have no natural affection, but an associate in employment or an office, and then also apostles. And I said, wait a minute, isn't a Jenny, you know, a female donkey, a Jenny? And so I looked that up, and you know what showed up? It said Abel. And I was like, look at this, Abel. And so I asked a little bit more about this house that that he lived in, and I found it to be very interesting that in the beginnings of the house of Yahweh in these last days, that not only did he live there, but along the way some other people in this congregation did too, and also they had meetings there and studied. In fact, some of the initial work with dealing with Malachi Martin was done out of that particular house. And so I looked, and another name that I saw for that is Jeanette, and J-E-N-N-E-T. And it came up a stone, a driving place, a pasturage, a place of pasture. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And I found it very interesting that many people that are considered pillars in the house of Yahweh met there, studied there, and was very involved in the work and still is, in fact, today. So the last person that we'll hear from will be Kahan Shaul. And, you know, Kahan Shaul, he came from Michigan to the house of Yahweh. And I thought this was kind of funny because I said, well, how did you find out about it? And back in the 70s, he had gotten some information from the Worldwide Church, which, you know, I'm thinking about the holidays or whatever was being shown there, the literature. And then, you know, along the way, he saw an ad. He was studying something. It was called the National Enquirer. And he saw an ad in there that said, the Creator has a name. And he answered the ad. And how many people have actually answered that ad or the little card that was set around? Many, many people sitting here today came from that same source, you know. Maybe not National Enquirer, but the Creator has a name. So he called, you know, he got the information, he got some literature, and he noticed the literature had the same type of typesetting that some of the worldwide literature did. And so his eyes were already on the typesetting at that time before he even got involved, you know. And so he's looking at it every day now. So he came to the house of Yahweh, and the rest is history. And we're glad to have him here, too, and he'll be the last one you hear from today. And if you'll all please stand, it's my great honor and privilege to introduce to you our first speaker, the great son of Israel, Abel, Deacon Yeshaya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech today is What Yahweh Made Was Right. The gods have nothing to do with creation. When Yahweh created man and placed him upon the earth, he gave mankind everything that he would need, including a healthy, clean food supply. It is through this food supply that mankind has the ability to gain energy, strength, and the nutrients needed for them to live. Only Yahweh was able to do this. Please turn with me to Genesis 1, verse 11 through 12. Genesis 1, on page 1, verse 11 through 12. It says, Then Yahweh said, let the earth produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees, on the land that bear fruit with seeds in it, according to their various kinds, and it was so. And the earth produced vegetation, seed-bearing plants, according to their kind, and seed-bearing trees according to their kind. And Yahweh saw it was right. What Yahweh created was absolutely perfect. Mankind did not need to change a thing. But over the years, through the deception and influence of Satan and the gods, mankind was convinced that they could do better than Yahweh. And ever since then, mankind has been trying to make better than this and better than that products. It was through this prideful attitude that the sins of mankind, our food supply, has become defiled. Now you can buy a beautiful looking peach out in the supermarket. It's huge, maybe even juicy, but it's totally tasteless. It has no taste. That's the one thing mankind hasn't been able to put in the food, is the taste. I like to think of it as personality and character in our food. It might look great on the outside, like a nice personality, but its character on the inside is seriously flawed. In their attempt to outdo Yahweh by making bigger and better food, the only thing they have done is made a bigger mess for mankind. In the first book of Yisrael, chapter 24, verse 61, it says, Satan is contaminating the food rather rapidly now. We tend to look at these big, beautiful stacks of fruit and vegetables in the supermarkets right now, and we cannot see what it's holding there. I can tell you the contamination is getting worse every day. They're making out as if they are passing laws to protect your health, but at the same time, they are putting more pesticides and herbicides into it. And the food also has no nutrients. I have an article from HealthyChoiceNaturals.com. Entitled, Our Food is Half as Nutritious as It Was 100 Years Ago. It says, eating healthy foods is more difficult than ever because according to a study at the University of Colorado, our food is about half as nutritious as it was 100 years ago. Since the early 1900s, the nutrient density of our food has declined approximately 40 to 60%, the study says. So, compared to the food that our great-grandparents ate, our food is lacking many of the vitally important vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, and phytochemicals that are necessary for great health. Our great-grandparents ate an average of 131 pounds of homegrown vegetables every year, compared to only 11 pounds that the average person eats today. One recent study shows that only 11% of Americans eat 2 fruits and 3 vegetables every day. When you combine the reduced consumption with a nutrient-poor content in fresh produce, it leaves the door open for potential health problems, especially when you consider the cumulative effect over a lifetime. But changing what Yahweh has made has had negative results. In the sixth book of Yisrael, chapter 16, verse 10, pastor said, produce linked to more diseases than poultry. I don't know if the Kahan who spoke before me read that, but the fresh fruits and vegetables in the supermarket are actually producing more diseases than the high cholesterol in eggs that they have screwed up. But here at Yahweh's house, we are learning and growing food the way Yahweh intended it to be grown, without the use of chemicals and polluted fertilizers and genetically modified seeds. This allows Yahweh's people to have a food supply that is much healthier for us than what we can buy in the stores. So why should having a healthy food supply be important to us? Well, in the self-control unit, chapter 2, page 34, at the bottom paragraph, it says, "Think of it like this. Your body is a complex structure composed of organs and systems that perform various functions. Everything must be balanced and work. Everything must be balanced and work to gather precisely to together precisely to function at your very best. Your mind must be healthy in order for your body to function well, and your body must be healthy in order for your mind to function well. This is the whole reason Yahweh gave us a healthy food supply and told us what we could do, what we could eat, and what we should not eat. When our body functions well, our mind does too. This helps us make righteous choices so we can be made in the image and likeness of Yahweh." In the fifth book of Israel, chapter 14, verse 65, it says, verse 5, "You must therefore keep my statutes, my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he will live through them. You can too. You can live through the worst time of trouble that the prophets predicted will ever come upon the earth. It will never come again," Yahweh says. "Do you know why it won't come again? You're going to be in charge. You'll put a stop to it. You won't allow this to take place again. You won't allow our food supply to be changed or diminished. You'll put the food back like it was, and the earth back like it was, by following these laws. Everything we need, brethren, is in these laws." Now, the food Yahweh created is perfect. The laws Yahweh created are perfect. And when we follow Yahweh's way, we will be perfect too. May Yahweh bless your understanding and your dinner. And I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker, Deacon Buffalo Bill. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today I'm going to be talking about Yahweh's protection. Now, for my first scripture, turn over to Psalms 91. This is a very familiar scripture, Psalms 91. And we're going to be starting in verse 1. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We say to Yahweh, you are our refuge and our fortress. You are our fathers, and you we will trust." Notice there in verse 2 where it says, "We say to Yahweh, you are our refuge and our fortress. Yahweh is our only protection. He alone can save us." Now hold your place in Psalms 91. We're going to be going back there. And turn to Zechariah 9 and look at verse 8. It's on page 721. Zechariah 9:8. "Then I will encamp around my house like a guard against those who march in and out. No more will an oppressor overrun them, for now my eyes are watching over them. I will encamp about my house like a guard. Not one of Satan's demons are going to touch it. No longer will the oppressor overrun them. Why not? Because they will be keeping Yahweh's laws. This house here will be keeping Yahweh's laws, and they will do what Yahweh tells them to do. My eyes are watching over them." Now turn back to Psalms 91 and look at verse 3. "Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of deadly pestilence." That word pestilence means contagious or infectious, epidemic or disease that is devastating. One example of a pestilence would be the Black Plague. Pestis brought out how it came from China through the shipping routes. His truth, verse 4, "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will trust. His truth will be a shield and buckler. The truth is the law. Keeping the law grants protection. You will not be afraid of the terror of night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. You will have complete confidence in Yahweh, that in whatever you do that is keeping the laws, you will be protected." Turn to Deuteronomy 28:1-2. "And it will be, if you listen diligently to the voice of Yahweh your Father, by observing and doing all his laws which I command you this day, that Yahweh your Father will set you high above all the nations on earth as his kings and priests. And all these blessings will come upon you and accompany you because you obey Yahweh your Father. Now look at verse 14 through 15. For if you diligently obey all of Yahweh's law, and then you will not turn aside from any of the laws which I command you this day, to the right hand nor to the left, by going after any god else to serve it. However, if you do not follow Yahweh your Father, and do not carefully follow his laws and his statutes which I command you this day, then all these curses will come upon you and will accompany you. If you turn over to the next page, you see in verse 27, the diseases of Egypt with the tumors, the festering sores, and the itch from which you cannot be healed. The pestilence or disease brought on by your sin. When you broke Yahweh's laws, when anyone breaks Yahweh's laws, Yahweh withdraws his protection. Now turn back to Psalms 91 again. And look at verse 6. Nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of destruction that wastes at noonday. Now look there where it says walks in darkness. Now darkness is sin. In Yochanan 1, Yochanan 1, verse 1 through 5 says, the Yahweh's law, the Yahweh's plan was life, and the life is light to mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not take hold of it. In Psalms 119, 105, and 130, it says that the law is light. Now, if we turn back to Psalms 91, a thousand will fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Only with your eyes will you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made Yahweh your refuge, because you have made the Most High your house, the house of Yahweh. If you keep his laws, it will not come near you. Only with your eyes will you see the reward for breaking the laws, and you don't want to have any part in it. It's because the reward is death. Now look down at Psalms 94 and verse 2. It says, rise up, O judge of the earth, reimburse the proud with a fitting reward. How long? Now, the proud are wicked, and the wicked people are what verse 3 goes on to describe. How long will the wicked, O Yahweh, how long will the wicked triumph? They pour out arrogant speech and speak utter insolence. They are workers of iniquity, full of boasting. All the workers of iniquity are full of boasting. They crush your people, O Yahweh, and they afflict your inheritance. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Sounds like the Vatican. They say Yahweh does not see, the father of Yahweh, the father of Jacob does not notice. Understand, you brutish, one who will be consumed among the people. You fools, senseless and silly, when will you become wise? He who implanted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? Yahweh's talking about here. Verse 6 in chapter 82 of Psalms, where Yahweh talks to the assembly of the gods and says, how long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the sinners? You should defend the weak and the fatherless. You should maintain the rights of the poor and the oppressed. But they don't. Now, side note F, verse 10 says, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your dwelling. Side note F says, remember, this is the time of trouble. And it takes us to Psalms 27, verse 5. In time of trouble, you will hide us in your pavilion, in your house, in the secret place, you will hide us. You will set us high upon a rock. So why all this talk? Why do we need protection? It's because of the reward of the wicked, nuclear war. Now, for your notes, Isaiah 24, 1 through 6, 18 through 20. This talks about the wicked's reward because they refuse to keep Yahweh's laws. They do exactly what Deuteronomy 28 says not to. The scripture says that pressure will be so high, men's hearts will fail them. For your notes, Luke 21, verse 25 through 26. Yahweh's protection is conditional. Keep my laws, and you will be allowed to enter my kingdom. You won't be in there if you're sinning. So we've talked about Yahweh's laws, Yahweh's protection, how to receive it, and how to lose it. Now the world is without protection. Now we're going to see the effects of the world without Yahweh's protection. Man accused of shooting migrant worker in Italy claims that he meant to hit a pigeon. The facts of the case are similar to a separate incident when a 13-month-old migrant was shot and wounded by a man who claimed that he had shot inadvertently and had no intention of hurting anyone. Italian President Sergio Mattarella called the attack barbaric and said, "Italy cannot look like the Wild West where a man ruins a one-year-old's health and future." Police officer caught on camera slamming 9-year-old boy to the ground sparks police brutality debate. It seems like almost every year a cop is always, it seems as if almost every year a police officer is always abusing black people. And then there's this big debate and everyone argues whether the police should be able to do that or not do that. And then guess what? They wait another year and another incident comes up. They never come to any conclusion and they're never stopping it. They're just arguing over it. Sweden, Greece battle wildfires as death toll rises. Sweden drops bomb to put out wildfires. Arson suspected in Greek fires. Outrageous key American ally Cameroon caught killing women and children in despicable video. Cameroon troops killing suspected Boko Haram linked citizens. Israeli police close Al-Aqsa Mosque after clashes with Muslim prayers. Israeli public security minister Gilad Erdan threatens broad military operation against Gaza. New Zealand fights family abuse with paid domestic violence leave. War will destroy everything you own, head of Iran's Special Forces Unit warns Trump. President Trump tweet to President Rouhani, "Never, ever, ever threaten the United States again or you will suffer consequences the likes of which few nations have ever suffered before." The world has no protection. Their only protection is from their gods. That is shown in Deuteronomy 32, in verse 35. "Vengeance and recompense is mine." Of course, we know that means judgment. Yahweh is not a vengeful God, the way the Vatican tries to make him look. "Their foot shall slip in due time. The day of their disaster is near. Their day shall be at hand, and their doom rushes upon them. For Yahweh will judge his people and have compassion on his servants. When he sees their power is gone and no one is left bond or free, then he will ask, 'Where are your gods, Elohim, your rock in whom you have trusted? Where are your gods who ate of your sacrifices and drank the wine of your offerings? Let your gods rise up and help you. Let them be your protection.'" Of course, we know that that's not protection. Yemi 2, chapter 2, verse 28 also talks of this. We can only truly be protected if we turn from Satan and obey Yahweh. Yemi 23:7-8 shows how Yahweh will bring them, his people, out of all the countries of the earth to a safe place, and there they will live in peace. For my closing scripture, Isaiah 32:16. "That is when judgment will dwell in the wilderness and righteousness will remain in the fruitful field. The work of righteousness will be peace and the effect of righteousness will be quietness and assurance forever. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation in assured, secure dwellings and quiet resting places." Let's remember to keep the laws. They are only protection. The world is searching for answers, as Deuteronomy 28 says. They're groping in the dark, but they can't find them. We alone, out of all the people in the world, have the answers. So let's remember to keep Yahweh's laws and to strive to make it to perfection. With this, I'll turn the services over to the great Deacon Samuel.
Shabbat shalom, everyone! You may be seated. Today, I'd like to speak about this topic. It says, "Don't lose sight of our goal, the finish line." You know, when we first came to the house of Yahweh, you know, we came to a point of our lives where we said to ourselves, "This is it. This is it. This is what I've been looking for my whole life." You know, we have this attitude. If you look here, you know, at that moment, our focus on Yahweh was 100%. Nothing could distract you from Yahweh. You know, it was like you're looking through a binocular. But, you know, as time passed, you start to lose focus. You start to lose focus. You get weary. And the binoculars, they become heavy. Now it becomes like it's a burden. Right? Well, then what's next? Well, you start to look elsewhere. We lose focus on once what we said, this is it. This was Yahweh's only house in these last days. Well, brothers and sisters, hopefully throughout the sermon here, this will be an encouragement to readjust our focus back on Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. And how do we do this? It's very easy and simple if we truly obey the instructions given by the one and only Pastor Israel Hawkins. And where do we see him? On Yahweh's Sabbath and feast days. You know, making sure we appear in those appointments that Yahweh is giving to us as a remembrance each and every time we come to Yahweh's house. You know, these classes, these services, those are the things that will give us that strength to continue to endure in Yahweh's house. You know, the teachings are awesome. You know, the classes, they're truly awesome. And they're available for us for free. I want to bring to remembrance a sermon here. And hopefully, these are pastor's words to help us to refocus on the true goal in mind. It reads here, in Pastor, this is the first book of Israel, given on 11-803, on chapter 21, verse 96, Pastor reads, Exodus 19, verse 5. Now therefore, if you will truly obey my voice by keeping my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure unto me. He's speaking to us. Yahweh's speaking to us that we are his special treasure. He's saying that same thing to you if you will truly obey his voice. So you notice that has to be a condition that we obey his voice. We follow his instructions, his laws. Therefore, we can be his special treasure. Now, who is he speaking here? Was that Yahweh speaking directly to you? No, it was an Oki, a shepherder. You know, David was a farm boy too. Did you know that? Ilya and Elisha, two of the greatest prophets who ever lived, were farm boys. People thought so little of them. They persecuted them. So was Isaiah and Jeremiah. They were both farm boys. Now notice here, and I underlined it, notice the attitude and the behavior of these prophets. They learned the basics of what brings life. What is that basic that brings for life? The laws of Yahweh, the holiness. And notice here, and how to enjoy life, true life, not the glitter and glamour of today's world. They learn true living and enjoying life as it will be lived. The only way to live it. And Pastor ends here, says a special treasure. He says you are going to be a special treasure unto me if you will believe this and start following that. Okay, so I noticed there. Yahweh pastor is telling us we are that special treasure to him if we follow Yahweh's laws. Now, in the Merriam-Webster's dictionary, the word special, it says distinguished. Are we not a group of distinguished people? Praise Yahweh. Distinguished by some unusual quality. Held in particular esteem. Distinguished from others. And make a note there. I want you to make a note in 2 Timothy 2:19. And remember that scripture says, Yahweh knows those who are his, because everyone who reverences the name of Yahweh departs from what? Iniquity. That's how we're going to be distinguishable from this dying world. So distinguishable from others of the same category, unique, they set it as a part as special, designed for a particular purpose or occasion. And the word treasure, the definition from Merriam-Webster, you know, and the treasure we're speaking of here, and Yahweh speaks of, is not money. It's not money. It says wealth of any kind or in any form. Something of great worth or value. Notice here, a person esteemed as rare or precious, a collection of precious things. And that's what we are. That's what we could be. Psalms 8, verses 4 through 6. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the Malakim, but you will crown him with glory and honor. You made man to be the ruler over the works of your hands. You will put all things under his feet, but only if we obey Yahweh's voice. Notice that. If we obey Yahweh's voice, those things will be given to us. But if you ever get an opportunity, kind of think about this. You know, Yahweh has called us out of the sin-sick world that is about 7 to 8 billion people. And he invited us, brothers and sisters, to be part of his great family, to be part of his great work. To kind of put it as an analogy, you can kind of think of it like the saying, we are like this little needle in this huge haystack. Okay? That little bit of needle, that small percentage out of that 7 to 8 billion people. So, brothers and sisters, we are that special treasure. You know, not money or wealth, but precious. So if we hang on in the door and keep our focus on Yahweh by believing into the one sent, Yisrael Hawkins, we will eventually make it to the finish line. Praise Yahweh. Thank you, everyone. If you all please stand. I have a great opportunity to present to you the great, awesome deacon, Michael Austin.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We're going to continue on with the message of enduring and holding on to Yahweh. Now more than ever, as we see the United States talking about bombing Iran, we know that if that takes place, if Yahweh doesn't hold it back, it's going to go and it's going to go full force. There will be no stopping it because everybody knows that will be, that's the ticking time bomb that's fixing to take place. The title of my speech today is Care and Concern for Others and Forgiveness. If you don't possess these character traits, you will not endure. You will not hold on to the very end. And our job is to hold on to the very end, to do all we can to make it into this kingdom so that we can have part as being the ones under Yahweh, Yahshua, and Yisrael Hawkins bringing salvation to the earth and to all of Yahweh's creation who are groaning and waiting for the sons of and daughters and sisters and brothers of Yahweh to be called out in these last days to do their job, to be perfected, and be the ones that are going to bring this salvation to them. We're going to start off talking about these layers of righteousness that we need to have. If the layer of care and concern for others is not there, then we won't be able to hold on because it will lead to other things. If we don't show care and concern for others, then we're not showing love to our brothers or neighbors, as it says in the Ten Commandments. If we'll turn over to Yochanan 13, Yochanan 13, verse 34, and that's on page 831. And Yahshua gives us quite a few examples, but I'm just going to go through a couple today. It's 831, Yochanan 13. And I want to read a definition here for you real quick. And this is the definition of care. And it says, the provision of what is necessary for the health, welfare, maintenance, and protection of someone or something. And one of the examples they use is the care for the elderly or the care for the older brothers and sisters or whatever. Care for others is the most important thing that we need to really focus on, is really caring for one another now more than ever because we really need it. Okay, it says in Yochanan 13, verse 34, it says, I give a new commandment to you that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you also love one another. By this, we'll all know that you are my disciples by the love you have for one another. We truly need to care for each other, especially when it comes to salvation. Because when we're caring for others and looking out for what is best for them according to what we're taught in Yahweh's house, we're looking out for them and making sure they reach that goal of crossing the finish line and obtaining salvation. So we have to look out for others and make sure we're helping them, guiding them in any way that we can to help them, leading them to their counselors if they're having a tough time, doing everything we can to just make them understand that they need to seek counsel and help them endure until the very end. We always need to be very careful when someone's being tested greatly, not to do anything that may cause damage to their faith. We need to do everything we can to make sure we help them so they can have part with Yahshua in bringing salvation to the world. It's very important. Yes, praise God, I'd clap, but it always works havoc on the microphone. Okay, so it says here, Yahshua said, by this, the whole world, everybody's going to know that we're his disciples, that we're the called out ones, because we're going to show a level of love that no one has ever seen before. The love for each other, yes, the love for the brothers, love for our sisters, love for our teachers, love for our supervisors, love for our servants. That love, the world has not known. And when they see it, they're going to be awestruck by the love we have for each other. Okay, so care and concern. I'll tell you a little story. And some of you may know this story. There was some runners in a race, and they were both fixing to they were contesting for the winning position. They were both at that point. One tripped the other one by mistake, and that person fell and hurt themselves. Well, the other one, instead of just running on, as she got up, helped the other one up and said, "We need to finish this." Well, they'd already lost the race, but they helped each other to the end. Whether they came in last, it didn't matter. They needed to finish the race. That's the attitude we need to have for each other. We need to finish this race together. We need to help one another finish the race. No matter what, we need to always do our best to help each other and care for one another. Now, forgiveness is another thing that we need to focus on. If we can't forgive, we will not be forgiven. We won't be forgiven. If we don't show mercy, we will not obtain mercy at the time of judgment. So we should really focus on being forgiving of one another. And if we're holding on to something that's causing us bitterness or a grudge or anger or distaste or disgruntledness, anything, we should always go to our counselors and ask them for help. And now, counseling is not a one-time thing if you're having trouble. You don't go to your counselors once and, okay, I've got it figured out. No, sometimes you need to go over and over. Schedule, ask your counselors. They're there for you to help you. And they will, look, I need to get counseling every week if possible, even if it's for 5-10 minutes, just for encouragement. Do it because it helps. Sackcloth and ashes helps too. A very wonderful person told me that once, and it does. If you're really down, put your sackcloth and ashes on and beg for Yahweh for help, and the door will open for help. Our tests are really tough. They can be very tough. But when you look at some of the tests that our brothers and sisters went through in the days of old, you know, being murdered, put in a log, sawed in two, having to live in caves, being beaten and tortured. Yeah, our tests mentally can be absolutely grueling. And dealing with others can be really, really hard. But, you know, when you look at what they went through, you know, they're kind of really not that bad. Because we can endure them. Because Yahshua and Yahweh and Yisrael Hawkins and the priesthood says we can endure these tests. We can do it. We can go through these things. We just need to keep our focus on the end game. We want to be part in the resurrection. We want to help Yahweh and Yahshua, Yisrael Hawkins, and the great priesthood resurrect the dead. We want to be part of this great family. I'm going to read from the book of Yisrael real quick. This is the fourth book of Yisrael, and it's the reverence of Yahweh. And Pastor Yisrael mentions something here, and this is chapter 8, verse 138. And he says, Be patient with one another and forgiving one another. If someone has a complaint against another, just as Messiah forgave you, so you also must forgive. Notice this is a must, he says. It's not forgive if you want to. You must forgive one another and not hold grudges against one another if you want to make it into Yahweh's kingdom. You know, Yahshua, our great high priest, you know, he said, if this cup could pass, but not my will, your will. When we're going through tests, it's Yahweh's will for us because Yahshua knew the end result. He knew what was going to come from it, from him giving up his life for us and for everyone. He knew it. We should remember that and know it. The tests we go through, remember why we're going through the tests, so we can help resurrect the dead and bring salvation to this earth which desperately needs it. And all creation are crying and groaning and begging for us to be revealed so we can come help them. We're not going to make it unless we endure to the end. We need to hold on, but we need to show care and concern for others. We need to be forgiving. We need to be obedient. We need to help our supervisors. We need to help our servants that Pastor gave to us. It's a two-way street. If we do this, we will truly be called the sons of Yahweh, the daughters of Yahweh. We will truly be the ones that the world's going to come here and they're going to be in awe at our love for one another and the love we have for them. Let's show one example here. And this is going to be my final example. And it's Luke 8. It's on page 811, Luke 23, page 811, Luke 23, and it's verse 33 and 34. And now this is Yahshua's test. And one of the last things he did as they were murdering him, this is what he did. And when they came to the place, which is called Calvary, they nailed him to the stake. They put a nail through his wrists and in his feet and hung him to die. The Catholic Coptic 666 system. And there with one criminal on his right hand and then the other on his left hand, on his left. Then Yahshua said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He forgave them for what they were doing. One of the last things he did. We can forgive each other. We can care for each other. We have to do these things and add these character traits full force to our character so we can be Yahshua's true disciples and be pleasing to our teachers and the ones leading us. Remember, we have to care for each other in everything, with everything in us and everything we do. Forgiving one another no matter what, and begging for forgiveness from someone that we may have done wrong to or caused harm to, whether we are aware of it or not, once it's brought to our attention. If we don't care for each other, if we don't forgive one another, we will not endure. The house of Yahweh in these last days is called Philadelphia. We need to say, Father, forgive us, for we're striving to be like you. Help us be like you. We are the house of Yahweh of brotherly love. Brotherly love? No. We're the house of Yahweh of true family love, which we're going to show to all the earth when they come here and all of Yahweh's creation. We are going to be the examples that Yahshua talked about, and we're going to bring honor to our teacher's eyes, Yisrael Hawkins, and Father Yahweh and Yahshua Messiah. And with that, if you'll all please stand. Remember these things, brethren. Remember these things. We can do this. We can care for one another. I have a great honor to introduce one of the great priests in Yahweh's house, our beloved priest, the great Kohan Benaiah Hawkins.
Shalom. May the peace of Yahweh be seated. And put your seatbelts on, by all means. You're going to go through prophetic times and see that Yahweh exists. And listen with a believing mind, all right? If you live And then you examine yourself. If you don't listen with a believing mind, you probably won't understand, all right? And whatever is said here, it is for your own benefit and for the benefit of the whole world, actually, you know? So today, how to endure to the end here? You know, when I came to the house of Yah, it was a little roller coaster ride, you know? I didn't know what went on, and as you've heard great Deacon David say, I was looking for something I did not know what it was, the truth. You know, I remember Pilate said to Yeshua, he said, man, he said, what is the truth? And I was thinking, when, who should I ask what is truth? You know, I did not know. And that was, I tell you, I found something. When you're looking for something and you want to know the truth, there's two things in life but worse than that to me. I said, take all things away from me, but show me one truth. And one thing was, you want to work. You have so much energy. Nobody hires you. There's no work. I said, what sense do I have when you can work and do things? And the same thing when you look for the truth. I told that one man I was working with. I said, man, I said, you know, I know you seek the truth. You cannot find it. I know it, but you won't understand what I said. And I said, that's worse than that. And he told me, you know, that's true, he says. I saw him in torment, but the poor guy, I guess it was not meant for him. His mind was open. So he died. I warned him, don't eat the rotten pork. And but he, you know, that was not his time yet. So anyway, the house of Yahweh is here established, all right? We know that, all right? But the way I was coming to this place, you know, a horrible tragedy came. But this tragedy, it changes our lives. Certain things can occur that you change your directions. Then I found out man's going is not on his own. So who is directing my steps? I was looking, running, and looking for something I didn't know. But a little tragedy, you know, it hit home. It hit home. I say, I got to move on and see, look for something. Like mankind is looking for, as later on we see, like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found the pearl with a great price, that's a parable, I let you figure it out yourself. He sold all things and invested in that great pearl. Anyway, now here the house of Yahweh is the place, a secret place they call it. And we're going to see now, as we go through the scriptures, we're going to see how Yahweh is living in us, because we are the last act of Yahweh's plan. You are living plan, and he knows every move and all our actions, as you will see, all right? Now, when I got introduced to Israel, that was strange, you know. I came to a man, you know, and I worked with a man, and after I asked Yahweh, I didn't know Yahweh, well, I said, you give me the truth, take all things away. Well, remember the Sabbath, that was the most powerful thought entered my life and my mind. Only a thought, and I knew it was true. That was like the voice of Yahweh to me to remember the Sabbath. Yeah, I said. Well, then find a Sabbath. So I worked with a Sabbath keeper and talked to him. The man is dead already. And but he didn't tell me when I asked, is there somebody in Abilene? That was in Cisco. So is there anybody here who keeps the Sabbath? Well, he didn't send me, but a man who was there knew Israel. And he said, yeah, yeah, there's Bill Hawkins there. All right, I'll check it out. And Israel sent then his first elder, you know, to me. He was a wolf in sheep's clothing. I'm glad I didn't understand nothing, because he would have dragged me out. So I didn't know, but anyway, but then he said, let's go on Sabbath. The first Sabbath service, I was amazed. I said, I'd like to see that man. Well, there was 2-3 families there, and when Israel started to speak, the first thing he said, if you are afraid, get the hell out of here. Woo! I said, what the hell is that, man? I looked around. There was not two men to see. I said, whew. Well, I praise Yahweh that I did not understand for 2 years what he was talking about. Remember the Sabbath. That joy that entered me with that one thought was so powerful. I'm afraid of what? I thought to myself. He's not talking about me. I'm glad that I remember the Sabbath, you know. Remember the Sabbath. It's not know how to keep it. But anyway, so even then, after I met him, and then little by little, you know, the trials and testing came in. He said to me a few things, and I always kept that. He said, think law. I said, why? He said, well, then think law. Well, think law. The law is light. It's a lamp to your feet. It leads you on the righteous sidewalk. There's two sidewalks we're walking on. One is righteous, one is unrighteous. So he pulled me over to the, guided me on the righteous side. So think law. I finally understood it. I said, I have no problem with the law. It's very simple. All right. And the next thing, Bailey says, wake up. Time to wake up. I said, wait a minute. Something strange came to my mind. Yeah, because we can go to depression when the change comes. You know, when devil worship is taking away from us, we come, some changes come over us. So, and I'm glad I started to think at least that I could see now why he said that. It's so easy to get cut off from Yahweh, even in your thoughts, in your action and attitude. We can get cut off from Yahweh. What should I do now? Should I throw, remember the Sabbath away, or what I have learned so far? Should I throw it away? I'm cut off, oh, poor me, you know. Yeah. Even you make a mistake, and you maybe not know that you've been cut off from Yahweh. But if there's somebody there to point it out, a voice of Yahweh, however it will come to you, then harden not your heart. Listen to it, all right? Pay attention, because the servant of Yahweh is here to bring us into usher in the kingdom and make us servants forever to Yahweh, all right? That's a tremendous, great job. And he will succeed. What we're learning here, and even if you feel, and even you pointed out you cut off, there's a way to restore, to be restored again, all right? And I'm glad for that, so we're not going to give up at all. The gates of hell, this misery of hell, will never prevail against those who walk under the righteous sidewalk. He who practices righteousness is righteous. Not how many times he will drag you down or cut you off from Yahweh. You keep on hanging on to the prophetic plow, all right? All right, now, concerning that, let's see here in Revelation, right? In Revelation 10, verse 7, we know, we are familiar with that scripture. But if we would talk to somebody else and say Revelation 10, verse 11, they would not even know what you're talking about. But I talk to some people now, and they already know what is being said here. In verse 7, it says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh Malach, when he will begin to sound, the great secret of Yahweh will be finished, as he declared his servants, the prophets. So what is this? When he begins to sound, who is the seventh Malach? We understand that. The world does not understand that yet. But that's why we're being trained to explain it to them through the scriptures, as we go through now in a few. All right? So when did he begin to sound? That's a different story. I cannot go in through that. All right? But we know when he began to sound, the great secret, the house of Yahweh was called the secret place. Why? Because Yahweh, the way he wrote it down, no man could understand unless he himself handpicked and trained a man from the beginning. He declared the end. And from the beginning, he trained that one Malach who didn't exist then, neither did we exist, to show them. He showed Adam and Eve until us, these donkeys in the last days. And now the plan of Yahweh comes from like a soap opera. Yahweh saw that already. In his power, he has seen this and the sea of glass, and we can see it on television. Now, Hillel got his show there too, but you will see that is not going to be important to you no more. So now the seven Malach. So here, so the house of Yahweh is a secret place. And the secrets of Yahweh, what are the secrets of Yahweh? How come the people, the whole world has, these prophecies are there. So where there's no prophetic vision, the people will perish. However, what do you mean that? Everybody who has a Bible or book of Yahweh, there is a prophecy in there. That's the plan of Yahweh in here. All right, the plan of Yahweh is in here, and that's the secret, but nobody understands, because the way he wrote it down, he gave here a little, there a little, line up and line. So you figure it out now. You try. I'm going to give you a parable at the end there and see if you can figure it out. If you're a true believer, you have no problem. If you don't, better consider. All right, now, we are here to this prophecy. So he wrote this down so no one could understand without Yahweh himself sent him. He says, I, Yahweh, will give you understanding. All right? So he spoke in parables. All right? Now, the parables, All right, now, yeah, in Matitya, and to fulfill prophecies, but I'm trying to point out, see, this, what we're saying here is all prophecies being fulfilled, to point that out. And now Yeshua spoke also in parable, that was in Matitya 13, in Matitya 13, all right? In Matitya 13, all right, in verse 34. All these things, speaking in parable, prophecy fulfilled. Yeshua had to speak in these parables. And I'll show you then what a parable is. All these things Yeshua spoke to them, you can read Matthew 13, it's excellent, and you will see, and even his disciples were with him, and then he put them aside and said, what do you mean by this? And then he explained it to them. And people will also ask you about these parables. And to fulfill prophecies, you will explain it to them. All right? So he says, all these things Yeshua spoke to the multitude in parables. And without a parable, he did not speak to them. That it might be fulfilled what was spoken of by the prophets. Remember what we read in Revelation 10? Saying, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings, which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Do you get it? So he fulfilled prophecies by speaking in parables to them. And we don't speak parables, explaining the parables. We're speaking the truth and nothing but the truth for the true believers. All right? So you will understand in the latter days perfectly, but not all. Only those, remember, you must believe that Yahweh exists. Yahweh has proven many, many times and answered me many prayers that I know no man could answer. Who could I ask what the truth is? Like Pilate, tell me, what is the truth? Well, I know what the truth is. You know what the truth is too, if you will accept it. All right? Now, so without a parable, so they were kept secret since the foundation of the world. So the way he wrote it, and you can find that in Isaiah 28, 9 to 13, and he spoke here a little, there a little, with a stammering tongue. From the mouth of babes, the truth will come forth with a foreign tongue. You know, as you might hear, little accents different, but the truth comes forth to them, to you, all right? So, now that you understand that now, without a parable. So that is fulfilling these prophecies. Now turn over to Isaiah 25, all right? Isaiah 25. And I'll show you another parable fulfilled, all right? Being fulfilled. And Isaiah, and look in verse 12, in verse 7. Isaiah 25, verse 7. And here we read, and he will destroy in his mountain the face of the covering cast over all peoples and the veil that is spread over all nations. The veil of Satan. The whole world is deceived. So what's going on here? Here, little buddy, we're pulling away the veil of Satan. This is kingdom against kingdom. Yahweh is removing the veil of the lies. We have no excuse, all right? We hear in first hand. Not all the people right now hear this. But there is going to be about 6 to 8 billion people are bound to die right now because they do not have these prophecies preached to them. All right? Though the message is going throughout the world, as we will prove again through the scriptures, all right? There's no one excused. So in this mountain here, and now the house of Yahweh is published and preached, unveiling Satan, all right? Or devil worship, the shocking facts. What are the shocking facts of devil worship? Remember in the beginning when Satan tempted Eve, and he says, and it's glamorous, it is fun. It is, you know, everything what you desire, you can do. That's devil worship, all these traditions. We were so ambitious and so joyous to do this. We didn't know that this was sin and taking us away from Yahweh. Now we do know it. So what? That's the shocking facts. What? I can prove to myself. I went in the forest and cut a tree down. And wow, I was glad until the last one I remember. I tried to find out the little thing and I got stuck and I tore the whole darn thing down. I said, I'm going to get it now. But anyway, I don't know if I get a little spanking or not. But anyway, but see, that is devil worship. We all want God. Now many people have a problem to come out from this. Nobody got to tell me what to do. Are you asking me or are you telling me, huh? Don't tell me nothing when you come to the house of Yahweh here, huh? I know it all already. Yeah, you don't know nothing. All the teaching you have learned in the house of Yahweh both lead you to destruction, one or the other way. All the riches, they get you deeper and deeper into the bottomless pit. You can break the bottom of the bottomless pit and you still get into debt. So what's the problem here, huh? Yahweh, the message, the glad tidings of the kingdom will be preached through all the world. What are the glad tidings? There will be war no more. When you shall know the truth will set you free. When I do go into the prison and visit these prisoners, my heart goes out to them. I said, you know something, you're the only one free here. The rest is all in prison. The whole world is in prison. When you are free, that means free, you know what is true. You have the power now in you to make righteous decisions, righteous choices you can make now. Because you're walking in the pathway of righteousness now. Don't go back to that miserable sidewalk of misery, which is a temporary, and don't chase after those unrighteous riches. People leaving the house, not understanding. But know it or not, you're still guilty until it's pointed out. So no one has an excuse now. You can hear it and you can read it. Devil worship, the shocking facts. It shouldn't shock you. It's not the guy with the two horns and the pitchfork tail and whatever, and cloven hoof and feet and whatever they picture it. They tell you a lie about that. No, no, come over. Hey, come over to this party. Have a picnic over there. You know? See, Hillel, you know, she got a great show on the television too. But you look at it now and says, you can't believe it. How could you ever get attached to that? You know, it is glamorous and it is addictive and it is very destroying. So when you learn something from this world, regardless how smart you are, you learn from the house of Yahweh to live. And you have to step down from the ladder of pride, selfish ambition, power, you know, and whatever you feel like it makes you smart. We come down and start learn as children again. Let's learn. Who are we? We are made out of dust. Nothing. What can we boast about? Who was the greatest sinner? Now, concerning the message, remember now devil worship, the shocking facts. The veil is taken away here for the whole world to see. Not all the world sees it. Now let's turn over and we prove that, okay? Psalm 49, prove all things, all right? Psalm 49. And start at verse 1, all right? So the message is going out. The message will be published and preached, and then the end will come. The end of a damnable wicked nations and the wicked corrupt thing. Now watch out. America will be made great again. When you get a little more money or whatever, and the pride will lift up. Look what I got. A nicer car, nicer truck, a bigger land and all. No water maybe. And there's a lot of misery that doesn't see that. The climate change will be the greatest problem, brethren. Man's heart will fail them for fear because of the things which come in the earth. Look at down. The earth is already trembling and shaking and quaking. Look in Hawaii. It wouldn't surprise me that island will cease to exist. It was a volcanic island. It came up. Down it will go. Or maybe other ones come up already cleansed. Or whatever, you know. Until the weather changes, the power, you know, the drought, the flooding. It's very unusable. Every day you hear tragedies like this coming on. So these are fulfilling prophecies. Say, be alert. Yahweh is alerting us, all right? But here it says in Psalm 49, verse 1. Hear this, all nations, and listen attentively, all inhabitants of the world. Now you inhabitant of the world, listen up. That message goes for you too. It doesn't go just for Africa or Russia or China or America. All inhabitants. If you're not an alien, then you're inhabitant of the earth. And if you're an alien, you come creeping in here, it goes for you too. All inhabitants of lowly birth and high degree, rich or poor, all alike, give ear. It doesn't matter. So I'm not smart enough to listen. It's better you be stupid if you know anything about that knowledge of the world and you think you're so smart. Consider yourself, you're the biggest fool there ever was. That's how you have to step down the ladder and humble yourselves. We have to humble ourselves. Remember what is the humility? Let us have and hold humility. Without that, you cannot serve Yahweh. right? Pride and rebellion will take you. So it's not just for the rich. Oh, for the rich. Well, Abraham was rich. Isaac, Jacob, Job, they were rich. They were the richest people in the face of the earth. But they were also the most humblest. So don't think, oh, the rich are the proud. No, no. I would that all would have enough, plenty, so we wouldn't be a burden to one another. But even we, not everybody has everything. You're not a burden to one another. What Yahweh is trying to teach mankind is to work together. The riches are waiting for us. All his hands has created. Worlds, unknown universes there. That's all given to us to manage. So if you want to get a helpmate, you're going to need 1,000 helpmates to help you to manage. And 1,000 children like the stars in the heavens, and that would be enough. I trespass now the imagination of my mind. But, you know, let's stay in this earth now, and let's finish the job. Don't be lured away with unrighteous riches or silver and gold they will throw in the street. What will help you? If you have no food, very soon that's going to run out. With these bombs, with this insane cost of these killing machines, it's amazing, you know. They have no sense. All right, of lowly birth and high degree, rich or poor. Surely Yahweh didn't leave nobody out there. He didn't say, well, maybe Yahweh is probably black. Oh, no, he's white. Well, tell me one thing then. What color is Yahweh's righteousness? It goes for the rich, the poor, high of low degree. It fits all his creation. So that this way prejudice might go, whoosh, get the hand, Satan. This the prejudice is that was taught in the gates of hell. That cannot prevail in the house. Get the hands. That's not true. Here, all Yahweh says, listen all to the message which is going out. Incline your ears, he says, to a parable. Oh, parable. Something hard to be understood. We, the house of Yahweh, will open our dark, tricky sayings, accompany with the lie. We're singing about it. Hear this, O nations. Yes, you can sing with songs we will usher in the Yahweh's kingdom. You're going to rejoice like calves in the stall. You will go out. And yes, you will sing. Don't throw your music instruments away. But create songs of deliverance, joy. Remember King David when he played, the seducing spirits couldn't take it. Sheol got so mad he threw a spear at him. He wanted to kill him. But Yahweh, the gates of hell did not prevail against David. All right? So now you get this. So a parable. Now what on earth is a parable? A noun. A simple story used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. You get it? Though it's so simple to understand, but we must accept that Yahweh exists. And Yahweh does exist, all right? So it's a story or a saying or statement made hard to be understood for spiritual or moral lesson. On this, when you look in Matthew 13, if I would, you look through it, then you will understand those things. But incline, so we open up our mouths. Remember, to all nations, the message is preached and is published about what devil worship is, so it won't be no more shocking to you. To us, it's not shocking. To the world, it might be. Look, they all have their Bibles, but where there's no prophecy, the people will perish, but prophecies are here. Where there is no faithful servant from Yahweh and don't proclaim these prophecies, yes, they will perish. So 2 billion or 6 billion or 8 billion will die. They don't have a faithful servant to proclaim it. And I believe even if they get the message from the house of Yahweh, they will hide it or burn it before they will reveal it. That's how wicked mankind, Hillel made mankind. But Yahweh said, one day, all those who dwell in the sand, wake up, we got work to do. We're not going to be alone. So don't be surprised when strange and astonishing things come up in your life. Only to turn you to Yahweh. Eventually all flesh will come. Yahweh will draw them. Only mankind will see that their accomplishment has come. It amounts to nothing. Look at, if you watch the ancient civilization, you can get these DVDs, you watch it. You see the rise and you see the fall. Same story. And what do you think this last generation? It is prepared for a fall. Even if Yahweh is going to cut it short, one day and 1 hour, there's a day. Like the days of Noah. They were very short, the tribulation. But there's one day and 1 hour set apart when this earth will be burned up. all the nations labor for the fire. So what, you're going to work for nothing? Where would you raise your children now in safety? Where? All right? So anyway, now in let's turn to Hebrew, all right? I could go on forever. Hebrews 4, all right? I could go on forever now to Yahshua's temple. We get a great speaker behind it. He will continue in this, and these stories. And, all right. In Hebrews 4, all right? In Hebrews 4. So we got to believe. You know, in Hebrews 11, you say, without believing that Yahweh is, that he exists, there's no way. And Yahweh has proven over and over, not only to these prophecies being fulfilled through us, through the house of Yahweh, no one on this earth was there to oppose Satan, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be kingdom against kingdom. Yahweh's kingdom, which is being established. We will usher in Yahweh's kingdom. In Hebrews 4, he says, for this message was preached to us as well as to them. But the voice which they heard did not benefit them, because they did not share in the faith of those who obeyed. Disobedience. All right, now look in verse 7. 4:7. Today, he says, listen to that. Sound like a parable. Today, not yesterday, tomorrow maybe not come for you. Today, if you hear the voice of Yahweh, today, the voice, how is the voice of Yahweh will come to you? Message is published and preached. It can come through babes. You hear beautiful young speaking here. You can hear them speaking, you know. It may be the voice of Yahweh to you. And if you understand, on that maybe correction comes out, humble yourself and adjust yourself. Or confess whatever is pointed out. So today, after so long of a time, it has been said today, if you will hear the voice of Yahweh, do not harden your heart. Their heart was hardened because of unbelief. After Yahweh gives us all this proof, why should we not believe? What more will Yahweh to do? Raise the dead up for you? You still won't believe it if you don't believe the voice of Yahweh. It is published and preached to you. It comes to you even if you read it. The voice of Yahweh is talking to you. And praise Yahweh if something is pointed out so you can turn again, only to deliver you from eternal destruction. Yeah, there's a lot ahead of us. And may Yahweh bless you with this understanding. And so remember. And now, for the next speaker, a great and faithful Kohen, Shaul Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Shabbat Shalom. You may be seated, brothers and sisters. We're going to continue along this same theme this morning. And want to take you back just a couple of weeks. Of course, all these introductions and thinking about all this going back, Khan Benaiah, he was the first elder Walter back then, that pastor had me go see on my very first Sabbath here. And I don't forget, I always keep in mind the words that he spoke about believing the prophets. Believe the prophets, all that the prophets have written. And he drilled that into my mind years ago. But a couple weeks ago on 7:7, be turning over to Psalms 19. Pastor touched really heavily on Psalm 19, showing that this is all about the house of Yahweh right now. This last day's work, the finishing work. And brethren, we're going to hit some of these basics today because it's the very basics, and that's what Elder Walter back in the day kept hitting with us, was the basics, going back to the basics. And it's the basics that's going to get us into this kingdom. But brothers and sisters, we're kind of falling short in certain areas because we tend to forget about the basics. You know, we've heard it over and over. So I would pray, everyone, copy down these scriptures, write these scriptures in your notes, go over them and over them, because it's the basics that's going to keep us out of the kingdom if we don't follow them. But they're the things that are going to get us into this kingdom. Now, in Psalm 19, Pastor read verse 5. Notice the second part of verse 5, that Yahweh rejoices like a champion to run a race. And remember, Pastor asked us to speak a little bit about this race that's going on. And notice here that Yahweh runs a race. All right? He rejoices like a... Now, the King James Version says like a strong man, and we'll get back to that. But this is what Yahweh wants from us. He wants us to run this race like a strong person. And we're going to find out what would make us strong in running this race and why would we rejoice in this race. And Pastor, you know, he races every Sabbath morning. But I remember when I first started at the press room, we had to take the proofs up to Pastor's office. And I went up there one, it was in the afternoon, and they said, well, Pastor's not in here now, and he's out in the it was the campground back there. Right now it's a mesquite forest, but so I went there and there was Pastor jogging around the campground, the old campground, and so I started jogging with him. I could never keep up with him even back then, but Pastor was running a race back then. Not only the physical foot race, but an actual race that Yahweh's talking about and telling us about here, this race. So Yahweh wants us to run this race. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9, and look at verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all compete, but only one receives the prize? So run your race, because we're not in a race against each other, all right? We're in a race against Satan. Each one of us is in a race against Satan and her beastly system, racing, because they're racing, trying to chase us away from the kingdom, and we're racing toward the kingdom. They're racing toward destruction. So run your race that you may lay hold of the prize and make it yours. Yes, each one of us is running the race, and we're told to run it in a way that we can grab hold of the prize and make it ours. Now, everyone who competes conducts himself temperately in all things, not letting any lust or anything overtake them, anything get in the way of running that race. No distractions. Now they compete, this is the world, and this is talking about like a foot race in the world. They compete to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. That is becoming like Yahweh himself. That's what our race is, to become like Yahweh himself. And we just read in Psalm 19 that Yahweh runs a race as a strong man, and he rejoices in it. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man who beats the air, not knowing what they're trying to accomplish, not knowing what the goal is, not knowing how to accomplish it. No, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. And we're going to get back to this part here. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Subjection into what? Well, we're going to see that here. So that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Now turn over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 5. And if anyone competes for a crown... Remember in 1 Corinthians there, we just saw a crown that we're competing and running for. He is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. According to the rules. That's what Shaul was referring here back in 1 Corinthians. Here back in 1 Corinthians, the rules. You know, disciplining my body and bringing it into subjection according to the rules, all right? And conducting ourselves temperately, all right, to receive that imperishable crown Brethren, this is talking about our test here. Competing according to the rules, this is our test. Now let's turn over to the rule book in Deuteronomy 12. While you runners here, Deuteronomy 12:5. We're going to talk about four main rules today. They're the first four rules that we have to keep in the house of Yahweh. As a matter of fact, we vowed that we would keep these rules, and we need to rehearse them often because it's so easy to let them go. Now, Deuteronomy 12:5, here's rule number one. But you are to seek the habitation of your father, the house of Yahweh, the place, not the places, the place. There's only one on the face of the earth, Amos 3:7, we know this, that Yahweh your father shall choose out of all your tribes to establish in his name, and there you must go. We have to go to the place. That's rule number one. All right, rule number two. Turn over to Deuteronomy 17. After we get there, we go to the priests. Not just any priests, because we went to the house of Yahweh. We go to the priests, the Kohans and Kohanas and judges, who are Levites, that is, who are dedicated to the work, and to the judge who is in office at that time. All right, so that's rule number two, is go to the priest. Now, rule number three, ask. Write that down in your notes in big letters. Ask. Maybe say, ask first. Ask first. Ask for their decision, and they will give you the sentence of judgment. Those are some pretty heavy words, brothers and sisters. All right? And Yahweh takes this very seriously. Now, verse 10, here's rule number four. You must act according to the sentence they pronounce for you at the place. They, that is the priests, your counselors. And we'll get more into that here. Yahweh, at the place Yahweh chooses. Your supervisor also is included. Be careful. Be careful. This goes with rule number four, which is obey. To do all that they order you to do. Circle the word all. Remember when we got our ears awed. Funny how that same pronunciation. And in our vow there, that we said we love the house of Yahweh more than all else. As we were getting our ear awed. You think Yahweh's concerned about all? Maybe a little? All. All right. According to the law they teach you. And yes, every bit of information that comes forth from the house of Yahweh, every newsletter, every prophetic word magazine, the booklets, the preaching, the books of Israel, the pastor's sermons, all of it is the law they teach you. You shall do. And because they're going to give you decisions, and I know a lot of people, show me that in the law. Well, I'm showing it to you. And according to the decision they give you, you shall do. You must not turn aside to the right hand or the left hand from the sentence they pronounce for you. This is, and tie that back in to running the race. Remember, the race has a course. I remember years ago there was a person that at the Boston Marathon, and they left the course, hopped the bus. Went about a mile or two to the end of the course, got off the bus and got back in the race, you know, and tried to claim that they won. I don't think they tried to claim they won, but, you know, they had a very low time that didn't match who they were, and so they investigated it and found out that the person had, in fact, cheated. Well, they went to the right or to the left, you know, and you can't do that with Yahweh, brothers and sisters. That you can't get around these four rules here and be winning a race. You'll be outed as a cheater because it's all on film. All right? Film at 11, they used to say, or 10. You know, it's all seen by Yahweh. We can't cheat Yahweh and break these rules and think we're going to win this race. Same thing with arguing, talking back, walking off the job, quitting. It is not asking and obeying. And there's a lot to this. Turn over to Ecclesiastes 9:11. Because this is our very trial right here. This is the very basics of getting into the kingdom, brothers and sisters. And make no mistake about it, when it says judgment has begun at the house of Yahweh, this is our trial. The trial isn't when we stand before Yahweh. Now, we're making our case now. And not just with words, our big case is being made with our actions. Yes, our words, but if our actions don't match our words, which one do you think Yahweh pays more attention to? Our actions, of course. Now, I told you, Yahweh, I won that race. You have it. You left the course. You got on a bus and took the bus to the finish line. I still won it, though, you got to admit. It's not going to be anything like that with Yahweh. But look at Ecclesiastes 9:11. And think about this test and what Yahweh wants us to prove to Him. What's important to Yahweh? I turned once more and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor honor to men of skill, but time and circumstances befall each of them. Well, what on earth does that even mean? You know, it doesn't really, you know, to me, what it means is our test is not to show Yahweh how great and smart and knowledgeable and skilled, how swift, how strong, how wise our riches, like Kambaniah mentioned, or our skill, or how successful we are. That's not our test. That's not who the race goes to. None of that. Brothers and sisters, by what stretch of the imagination do we even think that Yahweh would be impressed by anything we can accomplish? You know, we're going to impress you. Look what I did, Yahweh. You know, man, how great I need to be in that kingdom. Turn over to Job. Job 38. And if you would at some point, you know, read this whole part here, these last few chapters of Job. But let's look at verse 4. This is what, you know, Yahweh's going to say, well, look at verse 3. Now stand up and prepare yourself like a man, for I will question you and you will answer me. And the first thing he's going to ask is, okay, smarty pants, Mr. Big Shot, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Yeah, but do you know I can do this and I can do that and I'm such a great this and that and I can even cut open a human body and move their parts around and sew them back up and bill them thousands of dollars. How great I art. And Yahweh's going to say, who determined the dimensions of the earth, if you know? Who stretched out the measuring lines and so forth? Where were you when Yahweh created the earth if you're so great? But this is what the mind of men does. When we think about, well, I went to school for that, you know. I know all about that. I'm a whatever, think of whatever degree or whatever field, you know, I don't want to pick on anybody's field of endeavor here, but you can put anything in there. I'm the greatest ditch digger that ever lived. Hell, I dug all the way to China. What does Yahweh care about that? I wanted to find something and read it to you here, but well, it says that, beware in Deuteronomy, it says, beware that when you enter the land and you build houses for yourselves, fine houses, and you're living, in the lap of luxury, beware that you do not say, well, my hand has accomplished all this. Yahweh doesn't give a fig about what we can accomplish. Think of all the people in the world that have accomplished things, brothers and sisters, that have done things, built buildings and did this and that and build empires and build nations and crush nations and acquire riches. And does any of that qualify a person for the kingdom? But we get that in our mind that we are somebody. That we're somebody. And Yahweh should listen to us because we're a somebody. But none of that, brothers and sisters, counts toward running and winning our race. Turn over to Deuteronomy 30 here, and we're going to look at this trial. Deuteronomy 30 and 19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses. As witnesses. Witness what? How great we are? How skilled we are? How many things we can do? How smart we are? And so on. How successful? He says that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Because you are free agents to make your own choice between righteousness and evil, therefore choose life, so both you and your children may live. So you may love Yahweh your Father. How many people in this world claim to love the Creator? How many other groups claim to love Yahweh? How many people have left the house of Yahweh saying, well, I still love Yahweh. I'm going to prove him a liar right here. So you may love Yahweh your Father by what? Listening to him. Well, first you ask, like rule number 3 said, you ask, rule number 4, and then obeying him. Hold fast to him, for he is your life. He will also give you many years in the land he vowed to give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And yes, those men did this very thing. Those 3 men, Yahshua testified it also, that they will be in the kingdom. All right? And but this is our test, brothers and sisters, to prove that we can obey orders and follow instructions. And really, that's the only thing. That's the only thing that's going to get us fit for the kingdom. That's the only thing that's going to qualify us, is if we followed instructions. I know it seems very basic, but how many times does a thought rise up in our mind when we're given orders and given instructions of why we can't or can't, shouldn't or whatever, follow that instruction? Because we know more or we know better. Well, we're kicking ourselves out of the kingdom with our great knowledge and wisdom when we do that. Turn back over to Psalm 19, or just remember it. Turn over to Malachi 4, for one. And these, I know we know these scriptures by heart, but we got to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance, because if we let these things go, these very basic things, brothers and sisters, we let go of the kingdom. And that's the other thing that Khan Benaiah always taught me, to stick with the basics. Go back to the basics. In Psalms 19, where it says, Yahweh rejoices like a strong man to run a race. Well, what makes a man strong? What makes a person strong? Anybody? Righteousness. Malachi 4:5. Behold, I will send Ilya, the law and the prophet, speaking again of these last days, which is the strength of Yahweh. Do you know no one could run the race before Pastor was born and started training and doing his work and getting everything ready for us? No one could run the race to the kingdom because we didn't have the strength. We did not have the strength to run that race the way Yahweh runs it. Okay? Before the coming of the great and awesome day of Yahweh, when this world's government is going to come crashing down on itself in a great nuclear burning. But Yahweh runs this race according to His own laws. Yahweh submits to His own laws. The creator of everything that exists in the universe is a submissive being. Isn't that amazing? He submits to His own laws. He is humble to obey His own laws. And He testifies, and Pastor read it 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago in Psalm 19, that the law is perfect. And it brings about perfect results. It will. This plan is perfect. This plan, based on perfect laws, is perfect and will bring out perfection. Yahweh's not asking us to do anything that He's not doing. Brothers and sisters, He did it first. Way before we were born, and He never deviated from it. And this is what made Abraham so great, that we just saw his name mentioned there. Turn to Genesis 22. Genesis 22 and verse 18. Through your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed because you have ran the race according to the rules. Remember, Yahweh told Abraham what? Get up away from thy father's country and go to this other place I show you. Well, he went out there and it was just an empty space in the desert, maybe a sand dune and a camel off in the distance. And okay, Yahweh, I'm out in the desert now. What do you want me to do? Well, let's see. Let me think. And then a couple chapters later, Yahweh came up with something. Well, he had that boy Isaac. Why don't you load him up and go to this other place? As if it was just all random acts. No, Abraham was following the very pattern that we have, brothers and sisters. He went to the place. He went to a priest. Do you remember the priest's name? Melchizedek. And he asked, what must I do? And he did and obeyed. Listen, Yahweh Himself testifies here, because you have obeyed My voice. That's what impresses Yahweh. Obedience. That alone. Brothers and sisters, think about this now. We want to get Yahweh's attention. You know how quick people cry out to Yahweh when they need help, or they're injured, or they're sick. Oh, Yahweh. It's the times when we don't think we need Him that we need Him the most. And we need to be working at impressing Yahweh by the same way Abraham did. You know, you can't polish up a junk heap and impress Yahweh. He sees right through it. All right? It's obedience. Sincerity, as we'll see. And notice what Yahweh, because of that, He says, because you obeyed, Yahweh saw that in Him, and He chose Abraham and his lineage and his DNA to bring forth the Savior, who would be absolutely perfect in His obedience. And this is exactly what we saw from Yahshua. No doubt about it. Turn over to 1 Kefa, in case there is any doubt. Concerning Yahshua. 1 Kefa 2 and verse 22. Who committed no sin. Sin is what? The breaking of the law. Sin is what? Disobedience. Who committed no sin, nor was guile. Guile. Deception. Smart alecky attitude toward a supervisor found in his mouth. Then look back up to verse 21. For to this you were called, to this perfect obedience, to these rules, asking and obeying. Because for this, doing righteousness, because Yahshua Messiah did this, Messiah also suffered for us. Wow, what a reward. I could hear Yahshua now. If this is what the kingdom's like. How many times have you heard that? No, that wasn't what the kingdom was like. Him getting beaten and hung every day. No, Yahshua had this imperishable crown waiting for him, but he suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. We have to follow Yahshua's steps. We have to strive every minute of every day to keep Yahweh's laws and to obey instructions on the job. None of this. And we just saw in Deuteronomy, it's according to the judgment. It says according to the law and according to the decision. This is our instructions that we're given every day. Our daily instructions. We must obey this. Turn over to Hebrews 5. We see Yahshua suffered. In Hebrews 5 and verse 8. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Is that because he was disobedient and Yahweh had to punish him? Would make you think something like that, wouldn't it? No, what Yahshua, he learned the extreme and supreme importance of obedience because he suffered the exact result of what occurs because of disobedience. He suffered the extreme cruelty of men who did not obey Yahweh, who did not follow instructions. And we're going to see that here more closely. This is why Yahshua suffered. And in suffering that, it was driven home. Man, I don't want anything. And even before he was arrested, he told his apostles, the Queen of Heaven is on her way, and I got nothing in common with her. All right? Nothing in common with her, her ways, and I want nothing in common. Well, in this life, he suffered. He suffered, and he learned. It was driven home how important it is and what harm is caused when breaking the rules that I read to you, not following instructions exactly as they were given, that's the harm that it brings. It brought about the death of a man who never once disobeyed, broke a rule, or failed to follow instructions. Now, look back at Hebrews 12. In verse 2, this is the reason we're told, looking to Yahshua, the first who was led and perfected, completely perfected by the faith. The faith, you could substitute the word rules. The first one who competed, who ran his race 100% according to the rules. No one else can say that. Who for the joy that was set before him. No, he knew that what he went through on this earth was not what the kingdom was going to be like every day. Saying, yes, we must suffer now. We must have sacrifices in our life, things we do without that we can't. We tell ourselves and we tell others, oh, I can't do without this. I can't do without that. You know, these sacrifices, the sufferings, the various sufferings that we go through from time to time, mostly the sufferings we go through is a conflict in our own mind between what Yahweh wants and what we want. If we would just submit to Yahweh and follow instructions, the suffering, it may still be there on one level, but you can deal with it, brothers and sisters. Yahweh didn't put us at the starting line of this race when he called us out and, you know, secretly tied bricks to the back of our legs so we couldn't run or something, or tied our shoelaces together. He gave every last one of us, no matter what abilities we had, no matter what skills, worldly education, knowledge, whatever, all of that amounts to zip in Yahweh's eyes. All right? Except the will to obey. And Yahweh gave that to each one of us, and we can do it if we'll set our heart to it. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured the sacrifice. And believe me, you go ahead and write down all your trials and troubles and woes and everything else, and then compare them to what Yahshua went through. And then tell me, when you match that, then you can complain. Okay? You know, pastors often told us that the hardest thing for a person to do, and Yahweh made it that way, he built us that way for a reason, but the hardest thing for a person to do is humble themselves and be obedient to the oki that Yahweh placed over this last day's work. Because, you know, it's easy to say, well, I could obey Yahshua, but this guy over here, you got to be joking. You know? But that's crazy. Brethren, if anyone says that, they forget that Yahshua was commanded by Yahweh to behold this man, to behold the branch, to inspire him, as we see in Zechariah. And in the last chapter of the book of Yahweh, the last chapter of the last book of the book of Yahweh, Yahshua tells us that he sent this Moloch to instruct us, to testify to us, to instruct us, to give us the do's and don'ts. And it's a simple matter of humbling ourselves to it. You know, but our own thoughts, our own ideas, everything gets in the way. Well, that's where the conflict is. That's the trial. That's the other side arguing its case. Well, we got to argue our case a little louder, brethren, and tell ourselves to be quiet sometimes and go back to following instructions. You know, and if we do reject Pastor, you know, exactly who do we think we're rejecting when we reject Pastor? You know, Yahweh chose Pastor for the very reason, the same reason that he chose Abraham, that he chose Moshe, and that he chose Yahshua. Look over at Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, holy brothers, yes, and we will be holy. We are holy if we follow orders, Yahweh's orders, partakers of the heavenly calling. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Yahshua Messiah. Yes, that is our profession, getting into this kingdom. Everything else is just a means to an end of getting this work done and getting into the kingdom. Who was faithful to Yahweh? He was faithful in every way, never deviated, just as Moshe was faithful in all Yahweh's house. Look at verse 4. Now every house is built by someone. Yes, Yahweh never set foot on earth and he during this 6,000-year period, and he said he wouldn't. He never set foot on earth at all, and he won't until a certain time. So every house had to be built by a person. All right? Every house. But the one having ordained all things is Yahweh. Now Moshe was truly faithful as a manager in all the house of Yahweh, as a testimony to those things which were to be spoken after. Yes, Moshe was the manager. Just like Pastor is the manager of this last house. As a testimony to those things which were to be spoken after, that the Messiah as a son is over Yahweh's own house. Yes, he is the high priest, and he's inspiring, and we just saw it, he sent his Malach to give us his instructions. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, well, if we follow the rules, we can be confident we're going to win this race. That's what Shaul said in 1 Corinthians there. If we'll follow the rules and do what we're supposed to do and obey instructions, we will obtain this crown. There's no doubt about it. Now look over at Hebrews 10:28 now. Those who rejected the instructions given through Moshe died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. You know, it makes you think, well, Yahweh was just fed up with these people. He's going to squash them. He's going to rip them apart. And then he's going to dig up their bones and burn them and cast them in the sea, like that one king did. Or the Pope, or I can't remember who it was that did that. But that's not what he's talking about. The died without mercy. They who rejected Moshe were the ones without mercy. They were the ones with no mercy. They didn't obey Yahweh's laws. Korah and his group, they brought great harm to the people through teaching disobedience. They were the ones that had no mercy. They taught another teaching. They gave an alternative instruction and brought curses to their followers. Remember, Yahweh told Samuel, they're not rejecting you, Samuel. They're rejecting me to go and serve gods. You know, and God worship is not bowing down to little statues or something like this. You know, it's making a god out of yourself. Rising above your authority. Refusing to obey instructions. Yahweh tells us to humble ourselves, brothers and sisters. Yahshua said, and you could put 1 Kefa 5:5-7. Humble yourself and Yahweh will lift you up in due time when you win the race. Humble yourself. Matthew 18. Humble yourself as a child. Yahshua said, let the greatest among you be the servant. And brothers and sisters, everyone in the house of Yahweh, everyone in the house of Yahweh has someone over them that they are responsible to in following instructions. Remember in Deuteronomy 17 it says, and go to the judge. Well, your counselor is your judge at that time. All right? But your counselors have ones that are over them. And those have ones that are over them and so forth. All right? All the way up. It's government from the top down is what Yahweh's government is. Turn over to Matthew 8. Matthew 8. Matthew 8 and verse 5. But each one must obey and follow the instructions from the ones over them. It's never been anything different. And notice what Yahshua recognized here in this person. When Yahshua had entered Capernaum, a centurion, this is Matthew 8 and verse 5, a centurion, a Roman soldier came to him and pleaded, saying, "Teacher, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering." Yahshua said to him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Teacher, I am not worthy enough for you to come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant will be healed." Now notice what this man, this Roman soldier, says. "For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." And you can bet that centurion wasn't Caesar, and so he had ones over him that told him where to go and what to do. Notice verse 10. When Yahshua heard this, he marveled. He marveled and said to those who followed, "Truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, no, not in Israel." And then he speaks again. "I also say to you, many will come from the east and west and will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of Yahweh. But the children of the kingdom, they will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Yahshua said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you." And his servant was healed in the same hour. Yahshua marveled because this Roman centurion understood the pattern and the requirement for entering the kingdom of Yahweh. That it you must obey orders. There's no unity, brothers and sisters, unless we obey orders. This is what Yahweh's waiting to see from us. This is what Yahweh's waiting to see. Don't grow weary in this. Turn over to Galatians. Many have. Many so-called wise and accomplished and educated and successful and skilled and blah, blah, blah. People over the years that have come to the house of Yahweh. And they had all these great attributes. And they left. Galatians 5 and verse 7. "You are running well." Yes, they started out running well. "Who persuaded you not to obey the truth? This persuasion did not come from Yahweh who called you." Yahweh doesn't inspire a person to disregard orders or instructions that are given by a supervisor, counselor, priest, etc. Especially the overseer. Yahweh doesn't inspire that. Notice who does. Turn over to Genesis 3. Which I know we're all fully aware, but you got to think about it in terms of us running this race. And the fact that even in Shaul's day, some started out real strong. And then their pride rose up in them. They were somebody and they weren't going to humble themselves anymore. In Genesis 3, and now the serpent was more subtle and crafty than any beast of the field which Yahweh had made. And she said to the woman, "Has Yahweh indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And then she says, "Well, we may eat of the fruit." Yahweh, she said, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst," Yahweh said, "you may not eat of it or touch of it, or you will die." And the serpent says, "Oh, you won't die. Go ahead and eat. Go ahead and do it your own way. Go ahead and, because your way, you're smarter. Go ahead and do it your way. Go think your own way." This is where it started. And this is where the lack of mercy came. This is the beginning of the no mercy that Yahshua wrote in Hebrews there. They died without mercy, without having mercy. They had no mercy. A person who will teach others to disobey instruction and break Yahweh's laws has no mercy, because they're allowing that person to put curses on themselves through disobedience. Turn over to 1 Kings. I want to give you this example. 1 Kings in chapter 13. This is about a prophet, this man of Yahweh, who was sent on a mission. He was given instruction. Now, you know, and you might think, well, you know, and I want you to ask yourself, well, show me this in the law. Because, you know, you hear that all the time. Well, show me that in the law. In verse 7, then the king said to the man of Yahweh, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I'll give you a gift. But the man of Yahweh said to the king, if you were to give me half your possessions, I would not go with you, nor would I eat bread or drink water in this place. He was standing up for his instructions, because this was commanded me, verse 9, by the word of Yahweh, saying, you shall not eat bread nor drink water, nor return by the same way you came. Notice that the guy was doing all right there. He was being obedient to the instructions. Now look at verse 14. Verse 11. Now an old prophet lived in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the things the man of Yahweh had done that day in Bethel. And they also told their father the words he had spoken. The father said, which way did he leave? So the sons showed him the road the man of Yahweh from Yada had taken. So then he gets on his donkey. In verse 14, he went after the man of Yahweh and found him sitting under an oak tree. Then he asked him, are you the man of Yahweh who came from Yada? He replied, I am. Then he said, come home with me and eat. But he said, I cannot return with you nor go with you. So he still remembered the instructions there. Nor return, I cannot go with you, neither can I eat bread or drink water with you in this place. Because I have been commanded by the word of Yahweh, you must not eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by going the way you came. Now, here's verse 18, is the kicker here. But he said to him, I too am a prophet, as you are. And Amalek spoke to me by the word of Yahweh, saying, bring him back with you to your house, so he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. He lied to him. So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. And lo and behold, he was mauled by a lion. In verse 26, when the prophet who had brought him back from his way, now this man had some authority in his mind, or and was able to convince this other person that he had authority. And did he check with his original supervisor first before he did it? Nope, he just went along with it. And then they said, that is the man of Yahweh who is disobedient to the word of Yahweh. Yahweh handed him over to the lion. Well, who goes about like a roaring lion? It's not talking about you might be mauled on 254 or something, but you may well be handed over to the lion, who she will maul and kill you with the second death for not following instructions. Brothers and sisters, if you're given instructions, whether it's by the overseer, your supervisor, your counselor, do not change or let anyone change those instructions. Anyone else, meaning whether it's another Kohan, Kohana, man, woman, another supervisor, whatever. Don't let them change it without you asking your supervisor first. And supervisors, before you give instruction, to another person in another department? Talk to their supervisor first, so that we do things decently and in order. Now, that doesn't mean if you see somebody in an emergency, you know, and a log fell on their neck and they're dying, you can't stop and lift the log off of them, you know. But if they're carrying a log and they say, hey, stop what you're doing and put your burden down and help me over here. Well, I've got to call my supervisor first. That's the answer you need to give. Don't be a smart aleck. Don't be a rebel. Call your supervisor, okay? And supervisors, be aware of that too. This is the most important thing in the work of Yahweh. You know, it's not even getting the job done is not the most important thing. What's the most important thing? Obedience, obeying instructions is the most important thing. Turn over to Ecclesiastes 9 again. Back to Ecclesiastes 9. Yeah. In verse 10. Now, I know it's written here, whatever your hand finds to do, but Pastor brought this out a long time ago. It's whatever you are assigned to do. Do it with all your might. Remember that. Assigned. Write that there. Whatever you are assigned to do, do it with all your might. Yes. Use your full range of skills, abilities, and everything to follow the instruction of what you were assigned. Turn over to Ephesians 6. Servants, Ephesians 6 and verse 5. Let me see here. Servants, be obedient to those who are your rulers according to the flesh. Here's a command to obey your supervisors, your counselors, and so forth, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart, not with a smart-alecky response, not as men-pleasers when their eyes are upon you, but as servants of Messiah, as doing the will of Yahweh from the heart. Notice verse 7, wholeheartedly, not going as slow as you possibly can, you know, because you don't want to do the next job that you know is coming. Unless you're instructed to, then follow instruction. But wholeheartedly, with sincerity, like you mean it. Rendering service as to Yahweh, because that's who you're serving ultimately. But you only serve Yahweh if you obey the man, the ruler according to the flesh, knowing that whatever righteous thing anyone does, he will receive the same from Yahweh. Remember, this is racing for the crown. Tie it back to the rules for racing for the crown. But don't let your own thoughts, your own ideas get in the way of following instructions. If you got a question or an idea, what was rule number 3? Do you remember? We forgot them already? Ask. If you got an idea, ask. Don't just go off on your own. Ask first. You know, so many people, and I've come across this, they call and ask after they did it. I think I should have called you before I did this, but let me ask you anyways. Should I? Well, you did it now. You know, now you got to live with the consequences of it instead of avoiding it. But notice the spirit that we need to have here that Yahweh wants. And it's in 1 Kefa 3 and verse 5. And men, don't get offended here, even though this is speaking to the women. You know, these things go for men and women all the way around if you'll tie it in with everything we read so far today and heard so far today. It says, let it be of the inner self of the heart, with the incorruptible ornament of a humble, a meek, humble, that is obedient, and quiet spirit. Not giving a bunch of back talk, not sassing, not arguing back. Is that, that's sure to impress Yahweh. Not arguing back, which is of great value in the sight of Yahweh. Why is it of great value? Because Yahweh can use us if we'll humble ourselves, just like he did Abraham, Moshe, Yahshua, Israel Hawkins, and all the other holy men and women of old. Brethren, attitude. Attitude always trumps ability every day. Every day. How many times has Pastor told us how he took a man who had no experience in the field and he taught him how to do it? And he didn't want someone with experience, because someone in experience already had their own mind made up how they wanted it done. No, he took someone fresh and taught them how to do it, how to follow instruction. Okay, this is the attitude we need. Yahweh will not put up with pride, brothers and sisters. He will not. You may think you're getting away with it, but I guarantee you, he will not. Now, let's finish with Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, remember Yahweh, Deuteronomy 30, he called heaven and earth, and they're watching us. Let us lay aside every weight, everything that is in our mind or attitude that keeps us from following instruction, following orders. Let us lay it aside, every weight and the sin which so easily entraps us, and let us run the race that is set before us with endurance. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And at this time, if everyone will please stand, we'll now turn the services over to the great Son of Israel, Abel, for closing prayer.